The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
Like a scene out of a movie, I'm Jeremy Scott. A report of a Coshocton Walmart theft last night led to a backroads car chase that didn't end until Tuscarawas County. Deputies were called around 9 o'clock to the store where employees said 28-year-old Jessica O'Reilly of Canton and 23-year-old Destiny Rydenbaugh of West Lafayette had possibly taken something and were acting suspiciously. The two were located in a car, and as deputies found out, O'Reilly's license was suspended and Rydenbaugh had an arrest warrant out of Muskingum County. O'Reilly stepped on the gas and led authorities down Route 36, up two county roads to State Route 93, onto a township road in Fresno, and finally onto County Road 93 in Tuscarawas County. That's where O'Reilly eventually lost control of her car and slid into a creek. No one was hurt. O'Reilly and Rydenbaugh were taken to Coshocton County Jail, where they were awaiting formal charges. A car overturned this morning in White Eyes Township after hitting a tree. Deputies responded around a quarter after five to the 53,000 block of County Road 425. That's where 33-year-old Nathan Mullett of Fresno was eastbound when he lost control, went off the road, and sideswiped the tree. The car landed on its top in the road. Mullett told emergency crews he was not hurt and ultimately declined medical treatment. From the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, no accidents to report from yesterday. These complaints to report. Jason Garrett of Coshocton reported the theft of two catalytic converters from vehicles at Hopewell Industries on Pleasant Valley Drive. Jillian Boylan of Coshocton on station to report the theft of a Japanese sword. And Wayne D. Gilbert of Coshocton reported a theft in the 700 block of South 2nd Street. The World Health Organization says the global risk from the Omicron variant of the coronavirus is very high based on early evidence, and it could lead to surges with severe consequences. The UN Health Agency in a technical memo to member states says considerable uncertainties remain about the new variant that was first detected in southern Africa, but it says the likelihood of possible further spread around the world is high. A federal judge has blocked President Biden's administration from enforcing a coronavirus vaccine mandate on healthcare workers in 10 different states. The preliminary injunction issued yesterday applies to a coalition of states that have sued the administration. Those states are Alaska, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. A federal judge in Missouri says the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid have no authority from Congress to enact the vaccine mandate for healthcare providers that participate in the two government programs. The rule requires workers to receive their first dose of the vaccine by December 6th and their second COVID dose by January the 4th. A Coshocton County disaster plan, 3 years in the making, has officially been formulated. County commissioners were presented yesterday with the results of a study that began in November of 2018, headed by Zanesville-based RFG Associates dealing with mitigating potential natural disasters. RFG President Robert Genter says the highest priority for the county needs to be repairing Mohawk Dam, which in its current state is beyond its shelf life. The Army Corps of Engineers years ago assessed the dam's needs, estimated between $100 million and $250 million would be needed to restore the structure to full functionality and also put together an emergency plan for the locations that would be impacted if the dam ever were to break.
And basically, if Mohawk Dam goes, it wipes out every community in Coshocton down to Marietta.
Commission President Dane Shryock directed County EMA Director Rob McMasters to schedule a public meeting with other EMA directors and Army Corps representatives to discuss this issue. The Ohio State Highway Patrol's 2021 Thanksgiving holiday report shows a slight increase in fatal crashes this year when compared to last year. The State Patrol says 13 people were killed on Ohio's roads this Thanksgiving holiday. That period is considered to be between Wednesday and Sunday. In 2020, 11 people were killed. One of this year's victims was someone walking on the road. The Highway Patrol says 4 of this year's victims were not wearing a seatbelt. And a new local program has been started to assist people facing financial hardship to pay their water and wastewater bills. NoHoCo, Ashland Community Action Commission, and the Ohio Department of Development have announced what's being called the Low Income Household Water Assistance Program. NoHoCo Community Services Administrator Pam Wright explains a couple of the stipulations.
Assistance is available to income-eligible households with up to $750 for past due water and up to an additional $750 for past due sewer bills.
Income guidelines are at or below 175% of the federal poverty level. Those interested may contact NoHoCo at 622-9801. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning, everyone. It's time for the Communication Lines program, and I am Mike Bechtel here with you till 11 o'clock this morning. We have open phone lines all morning long in and amongst all of our Christmas Castle updates, and I've got one coming at you here in just a moment. And, well, in fact, we'll start right now. Christmas Castle project, our running total currently $16,860. This is Giving Tuesday. It's a little extra incentive to give today. And so we have set a, we'll call it a, what should we call it? Tentative goal? I don't know. To hit the $25,000 mark by the end of today. That would be the halfway point of the Christmas Castle project. And it's also a, I know that's a tall order. That is asking a lot, but, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we want to get this thing wrapped up in about the next 72 hours. So if we're going to do that, we need a big Tuesday. So keep those phone calls coming, although we have gotten lots and lots of them this morning. We have had individual donations. So we have also had several organizations that have checked in. The Coshocton Browns backers called early this morning, and Browns backers right now are thinking about the Browns going to be able to turn it around by the playoff time, but they're also thinking about bundling up kids this winter, and they shared $200. The Three Rivers Fire Department shared $250. West Lafayette Lions Club, $100 this morning. $100 pledge from Lynette's Flowers. Alan Doniker Surveying, $100. Lacey's Meats, $250. Woolly Pig Farm Brewery, $200. Individual donation of $250. Coshocton BPW, $150. Liddy Scrapyard, $1,000. And just received a pledge from the Warsaw Class of 1960. Warsaw Class of 1960. And they have shared $100 with the Christmas Castle. On that list that I just ran off, you notice the pattern. A lot of local companies, a lot of local mom-and-pop businesses, a lot of local organizations that are sharing very generously with the Christmas Castle project. So these are the folks that these are the big part, the bread and the butter of Coshocton County economy, the small businesses, and part of the reason why Coshocton County keeps chugging along despite all of the adversity we have faced over the last two or three decades. So shop locally and remember these businesses. These are the same ones that you see as a list of sponsors for other fundraisers throughout the year. These are names that you see on the fronts and the backs of baseball and softball uniforms, and these are the folks that keep Coshocton County chugging along, and they are keeping the Christmas Castle project chugging along as well. So I want to thank all of those. And I just mentioned a few. We've got a long list of businesses and organizations that have chipped in with various amounts, and they all collectively add up to a lot of dollars to help bundle up our friends and neighbors and kids here in Coshocton County this winter. So perhaps you are a small business owner. I know it's tough for small businesses. We have fluctuations in the economy. Tends to impact those small businesses first. So it's a tough going. You got to take a lot of risk to start those businesses and to keep them going. Want folks to keep that in mind. But if you are a small business or business of any size or any organization, give us a call, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284 to share with the Christmas Castle Project. All right. I didn't write down a lot of notes this morning, and left my stories from the AP and the printer, so we'll take a quick break. We can take a phone call right now. We'll be back right after these words.
Sandcast is hiring production employees for their cast iron foundry in Coshocton. Those capable of passing a drug test and willing to work third shift should apply. The position has a starting wage of $17.94 per hour with annual bonus included, plus shift differential. All new employees start day one with competitive medical benefits, 401k matching up to 6%, are able to earn 2 weeks of vacation during the first year with additional 3 paid personal days, and overtime is available most weeks. Apply online at wabtecorp.com/careers and enter Coshocton as the location.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the Be Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call Be Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
The leaves are starting to fall, and you feel the cool breeze, and you are reminded that it's football season again. Show your support for the Buckeyes at G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers with our exclusive Black O. Choose from a large selection of sparkling styles in pendants, earrings, bracelets, and watches. We have the largest selection of Buckeye jewelry you'll find anywhere. Show your Buckeye colors with your very own Black O, exclusively at G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers in historic Roscoe Village. Wouldn't you rather say it came from G.A. Fisher?
Coshocton Regional Medical Center has been proudly recognized as a 2021 Top 100 Hospital in the Nation by Fortune and IBM Watson Health. This distinction demonstrates our ongoing commitment to patient-centered care right here in Coshocton. With over 6,000 hospitals in the nation, we are proud of our employees and staff whose hard work and dedication to our patients made us a Top 100 Hospital. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have
tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the new law, more people qualify for financial assistance at healthcare.gov. Real customers like Taylor.
You know, I wish people knew how easy it was to get health coverage. This new law has made it so affordable. I'm only paying $52 a month, but there are quality plans for even less.
New law, lower prices, more people qualify. Enroll by December 15th at healthcare.gov.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
This look at the weather is brought to you by Clean Right Carpet Cleaners. Before you even think about renting one of those disgusting dirty machines, call someone who will do it the right way. Stacy Young with Clean Right Carpet Cleaners has over 30 years of experience. Clean Right Carpet Cleaners, it's not the only way, but it's the right way. For a free estimate, call 740-622-8392.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures in the mid-40s. For tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently, it is 38 degrees in Coshocton. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock, 740-622-1560 or 545-9284. Same phone numbers if you'd like to share with the Christmas Castle. And we need to keep that momentum going. We had the last call we received was from the Warsaw class of 1960. Want to thank them for their donation of $100, but we've experienced a lull for a few minutes. Now, you know you've been thinking about calling. You've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been planning on calling, just haven't done so yet. We're waiting later in the week, but this is Giving Tuesday, and we want to see just how much of an impact we can make in the Christmas Castle goal today. So if you've been thinking about calling, maybe you weren't sure or you'd planned to, why don't you give us a call right now. Drop what you're doing for just a minute or so we can keep our momentum as we work towards our goal for the Christmas Castle this morning. 740-622-1560 or 545-9284. Christmas shopping. Yesterday was what has recently been dubbed as Cyber Monday, and last Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, was Black Friday. So are you the type of person that finishes Christmas shopping early, or are you going to be out there on December the 24th feverishly looking for that perfect gift? I'm not big on shopping on Black Friday, and I definitely am not big on shopping on December the 24th, or a day or two before Christmas. Everybody is stressed that shops at the last minute. You don't know exactly what to get. And so everybody is in a bad mood and grumpy, and at that point, Christmas shopping becomes a chore rather than a joyful gift-giving moment. And I know I don't speak for everybody, but that just seems to be the case. People go shopping on December the 23rd, 24th, tend to be grumpier than those that are out shopping right now. So do you still like to go out to the brick-and-mortar stores? Just mentioned about shopping locally and mentioned some local businesses here. And we do have a lot to offer retail here, right here in Coshocton, throughout Coshocton County and Roscoe Village as well. Unique shops, the things that you can't find just anywhere, perhaps can't even find online, or have you come to prefer shopping online? And Amazon's the big one, but there are others. And I can remember 20 years ago plus about shopping online when Amazon was but an online bookstore. They started adding other things, and we had this discussion, and overwhelmingly the sentiment was, I'm not so sure about putting my credit card out over the internet. I'm not so sure about buying something that we can't actually see or hold in our hands before we buy it. And there are a lot of the brick and mortar stores are doing just fine, but look at what Amazon has grown into, and other places that offer online shopping as well. So my what I take away from that is that we have become accustomed to online shopping. We've gotten used to it. So what are your thoughts on online shopping? What are your thoughts on the tradition of gift giving at Christmas in general? For as long as I can remember, there have been criticisms of how we celebrate Christmas here in the United States and the materialism behind it. And I would agree with that to an extent. And regardless of your religious beliefs, Christmas is an important holiday across the board. Certainly it is the birthday of Jesus, but also traditionally it is a day where people get together, families get together, maybe just once or twice a year, and celebrate each other. So we can talk about that if you would like, but the materialism, when the gift-giving turns from giving from the heart and receiving with gratitude towards stress and sometimes selfishness, well, that maybe has crossed the line. So what are your thoughts on Christmas, how we celebrate Christmas here in the U.S.? The phone lines are open, 740-622-1560. And we can also talk some sports if you would like. We did a little bit of that yesterday, lamenting the Buckeyes' loss to that team up north. Tough game to watch. We kept hoping that the Buckeyes would turn it around, but they were outplayed from beginning to end by that team from up north. And if it had been any other Big Ten team, I can root for going into the playoffs, but not Michigan. I'm sorry. Criticize my sportsmanship if you will, But I already had at least one Michigan fan, long-suffering Michigan fan, take a little dig on Sunday. So, no, I want your team to lose in the Big Ten championship game. Go Iowa. Phone lines are open to talk about that if you would like. The new college football playoff rankings will come out this evening, and the Buckeyes expected to fall. They took a huge jump up to number 2 after their win over Michigan State, but they will drop to, I would guess, number 6, perhaps even number 7. So we can talk about that. It'll be interesting to see where Cincinnati ends up. Cincinnati, by virtue of playing a light schedule, has backed into the top 4 in the CFP rankings, and they play, I forget who it is, some other team from their piddly conference for their conference championship. Well, Michigan and Iowa will be playing each other, but Cincinnati is undefeated. So give me a call. We can talk about that if you would like. On Saturday, after the Buckeyes game, but watched Auburn and Alabama, and Auburn led for most of the game. It was a low-scoring game. Auburn almost got them, but Alabama came back at the end to win it. I was rooting for Auburn because wouldn't that be something? Auburn knocks Alabama out of the top 4, and wouldn't that set up the greatest bowl game ever between teams that didn't make the Final 4 of the college football playoffs, Alabama and Ohio State. And you know they would have had to pair those two up, so it could still happen. Although, probably not. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. we'll put it that way. Phone lines are open. Now we can chat about that if you would like. I was trying to think out the scenario, and it'll be Alabama will. Is Alabama going to play Georgia? So I have to get my conference standings out here, but I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the Buckeyes have a crack at Alabama, but I need to look at standings. I don't know how realistic of a possibility that is. So who would you like to see the Buckeyes play in a bowl game? We'll know more here in about a week. So phone lines are open to talk to sports if you would like. We can chat about, I have just been handed a whole pile of pieces of paper, some pledges and some checks. So I've got some math to do and another local business getting involved. And we've got, looks like an individual donor of $100. So the phone lines are open to chat about the Christmas castle, to talk some sports, or to talk about something else. Well, the phone lines are open. Those are just some suggestions. Here is one from the miscellaneous files. Sometimes we never talk about these for the rest of the morning, but every once in a while stories like this strike a chord. And this is from Cape Canaveral. NASA has called off a spacewalk because of menacing space junk. 2 U.S. astronauts were set to replace a bad antenna outside of the International Space Station on a Tuesday, but late Monday night, Mission Control learned that a piece of orbiting debris might come dangerously close. There wasn't enough time to assess the threat, so station managers delayed the spacewalk for at least a few days. The station and its crew of 7 have been at increased risk from space junk since Russia destroyed a satellite in a missile test 2 weeks ago. So your thoughts on that? Space junk flying around. And Russia, a space missile test destroyed a satellite, a no longer useful satellite. So your thoughts on that? There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of satellites swirling around the world. And that sounds like it's quite crowded up there, but consider that the orbit of the Earth, they aren't all in the same orbit. And furthermore, the farther out you go, the larger the orbits are compared to the surface of the Earth. But it could happen. Satellites running into each other. So give me a call. We can talk about that if you'd like. That story reminds me of a scene from the movie Gravity. Remember that movie? Fantastic movie. It has some rather abstract scenes and themes in it. To me, it is a much more beautiful version, but it hints at 2001, A Space Odyssey, with a lot of existential elements to it. Existential? There we go. Existential elements. But a scene early in that movie was three astronauts on a spacewalk, and some space junk comes flying through, and one was one of the more chilling death scenes that you'll see in the movies. So the phone lines are open to talk about that, talk about space junk, to talk about the Christmas castle, to talk about the Buckeyes or the Browns, and the or the Bengals. Big win over the Steelers, and the Bengals looking like the team to beat in the AFC North now. It seems like week after week, a different team holds the title. Very competitive division. Nobody is running away with it, but they are all 500 or better. I think they are. I need to look up my standings, both the SEC standings and the NFL standings. All right, those are some things we can talk about. Phone lines are open. We need that first call of the day, 740-622-1560. Give me a call right now.
One of the world's most expensive engagement rings is Mariah Carey's $10 million 35-carat emerald cut.
At Dean's Jewelry, we believe that the size of your love has nothing to do with the size of your diamond, so you won't find 35 carats here.
What you will find is a sensational selection of engagement rings and loose diamonds in many different shapes and sizes to serve as your ring's centerpiece.
This holiday, say I do with Dean's Jewelry, Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite and most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They are currently offering pay starting at $16.14 per hour. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, stop by December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m.
The telling someone you love them with McDonald's deal is as rare as it is special, since it's best shown by giving up the last bite. Because a gesture like that is a true act of selflessness.
Get free large fries with a purchase of a dollar or more, only through mobile order and pay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Valid once a day through 12/31/21 at participating McDonald's. McDonald's app download and registration required.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is
irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the new law, more people qualify for financial assistance at healthcare.gov. Real customers like Taylor.
You know, I wish people knew how easy it was to get health coverage. This new law has made it so affordable. I'm only paying $52 a month, but there are quality plans for even less.
New law, lower prices, more people qualify. Enroll by December 15th at healthcare.gov.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Lafayette Point and West Lafayette is committed to providing the highest quality of life through excellent care to their residents while preserving their dignity and self-respect. They are dedicated to making a difference one resident at a time. They accept most insurances. For more information, call Misty, the admissions coordinator, at 740-545-6355.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures in the mid-40s for tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 38 degrees. And the phone lines are open till 11 o'clock this morning. An update on the Christmas Castle before we get back to the phones here. We have an individual donation of $100. Somebody just came in and wrote us a check. Another individual pledge of $75. So we want to thank them. Also a very generous donation from another local business, the Good Boy Bakery over in Roscoe Village. And this is a bakery for your dogs, for your pets. And another local business, $100 they have shared with the Christmas Castle. And if you are looking for a gift for Rover for your doggy this holiday season, they have boxes filled with Christmas decorated doggy treats. Just $20 at Good Boy Bakery. You gotta call ahead and order though. So I want to thank the folks at the Good Boy Bakery for sharing $100 with the Christmas Castle. And the phone lines are open up until 11 o'clock. Let's see, before we take a call, let's see where we are monetarily. Running total now $17,235. And that brings us up to family number, let's see, where are we here? Scroll. Family 88. And let's get the details of our latest family. This family has a seasonal jobs. The winter months do not bring in much work. And their two sons are used to tightening their belts during the winter season, but they won't have to tighten them so much if you would help out with a donation of $150 to bring new clothes and warmth to this household. We need another $90 for family number 88. So if you can share that $90 or any part of it, give us a call. 9:38 is the time. Let's go ahead and take our first phone call of the morning. Hello, you're on the air.
Al, can you hear me today?
Sounds good so far.
Okay.
Sorry I had to cut it short yesterday. You cut out twice for a while. It just wasn't a good quality sounding call.
Oh, I totally understand. It's just I thought I was at a place that was really had fine reception, and it didn't. So if South 7th Street doesn't have fine reception today, then I don't know what I'll say, because that's where I am. One thing I wanted to talk about on the more positive vein to go completely away from where I was yesterday is, of course, I always am scanning through the Tribune, and the Tribune is both better and worse than it used to be because they pull in all these articles that are really interesting, like from the Dispatch and the Inquirer and stuff, and it's kind of a pastiche of everything thrown together, and then the front page story sometimes comes from someplace else where there's another Gannett paper printed, but the local thing that's really good always is Emily Marison's column. She's the family and consumer sciences educator, as they call it, in Extension Service now, or what we used to call the home ec agent.
Uh-huh.
And she had a great article about the dates on food, a sell-by date versus a best-by date and
yes.
Stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And the whole bottom line, as we've talked about several times, is that you know, people are probably throwing out all kinds of stuff, especially people with a certain amount of means. If it comes to that date, they just toss it. And you know, that stuff is stable way long. I'm not talking about milk souring. I'm talking about like a package of crackers or something, you know, quite a while past that date. And I just think the amount of food that's wasted, even by people that are on tight budgets, is probably kind of crazy. I like those dates. Do you remember when we didn't have them?
Sort of.
Yeah, I definitely remember.
Yeah, do you know? I mean, the question in my mind now is, well, when were they? Did they start being required to be put on packaging? When did they come around?
And I don't remember. I don't know if it was a certain date where everything had to have it, but I know that it happened within the period of a couple years, and I think the first place it probably started was in the meat case at grocery stores and stuff like that. And that's really, really helpful there. Use or freeze by
right.
this date. You know, and I find that really helpful, especially if I buy a markdown meat, which I want to do. And so anyway, that is, that's really helpful. And this whole, her stuff is 90% of the time something that I'm interested in for some reason or another, because it really is educational and it's really important, for people to read and heed. Now, what paper was it in? Well, sometime in the last 4 or 5 days, I'll just have to put it that way, because they tend to read 2 or 3 papers at a time. So that's my 2 cents worth. What I started on yesterday was, I was in a grocery store, and I thought, well, you know, this has gone up, and that's gone up, and this has gone up, and that's gone up. And, you know, of course, the politicians in power right now are really going to suffer over how inflation is hitting, but I don't know how much they really have to do with it. It may be some factor or another, but you know, I have to keep coming back to the fact that everything has gone up because it can. And that is, you know, businesses at the top, that the top dogs aren't going to lose any of their money. And if they finally, and people aren't going to work anymore unless they're paid, you know, the definition of an essential worker has changed, don't you think, over the last year or two?
I think the last year or two has driven home the point as to who is essential, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, and that everything is a cog in the wheel, you know, so that person that was making $7.50 an hour is going to say, look, I am not going to work and keep this or that or the other going and suffer this work I'm doing for less than $12 or $15 or whatever it is. And so subsequently the price is raised because the fat cats aren't going to give up any of their money. This is just, people have really deluded themselves, I think, about how things are working. I mean, the stock market, generally speaking, is roaring while inflation is going on. It's because half of us barely have anything in the stock market or nothing in the stock market, and people live paycheck to paycheck. And so they don't know it, but the top 10% or 5% or whatever are making out like bandits in the stock market, you know, and they're not just of one political party or another. I mean, I have friends on both sides of the aisle that are raking in the dough because they buy high dollar stock that goes up almost every day, like Tesla and stuff like that. So I just think a lot of this inflation is that on down the line, somebody has finally said, look, now you see what I've done for you, and now you see what I do and what I contribute.
Right.
And you're going to either have to pay me, or I'm not going to work, or I'm going to go find another job. And I mean, even I heard a news story the other day that part of the RN problem, and you know, over the years, Mike, the RN pay has gone up and down, and the demand has gone up and down, and people have hopped jobs from one place to the other. But, you know, the RNs just, some of them won't put up with what they're being paid
right.
for what they've had to go through. And so, you know, a lot of people say, if you're not going to pay me, you know, and so then everything else goes. I think that's a large cause of it. I mean, I looked at 4 different items that I regularly buy in a certain supermarket, and they're up, you know, they're up, definitely up more than 10%, you know. And I won't say what they are because I can't remember them all, but it's just like, well, there we go, you know, and I'm sure. And the other thing I think with inflation is people are still buying, especially at the holiday, when they might want to restrain themselves, you know, because it's kind of a hamster wheel as I see it. And then just talking about inflation makes inflation worse, I think. I mean, you know, of course, we're not a country where they've shut the media off yet. But you'd see that, you know, you only have to listen to the things about Myanmar and stuff like that. You know, the first thing they do is shut the internet off. So anyway, well, okay, so I've gone from the positive to the negative now. But I guess those were the 2 things I wanted to talk about. And I'm still starting to make my little list so that I can talk about more uplifting things. But I think people would really benefit from reading Mrs. Marison's column. So I guess we'll leave it at that.
Well, just I guess a couple of comments. Inflation, and I think you illustrate a lot of factors, but it is very complicated. But a lot of the, I think that there are a lot of factors that are involved that are pushing prices up right now and wages up. I don't know what the latest is on whether wages are keeping up with inflation. The last story I heard from the Associated Press indicated that they weren't, but wages are indeed going up, albeit not as much as everything else is. So, but a lot of factors involved there. The one thing that I question a little bit, I don't dismiss the idea, but you know, if somebody says, "Well, I'm just not going to work for how much you're paying me anymore, I'm worth that to you." I understand that sentiment, but how many people are in a position where they can just up and quit?
Well, I know. Well, that's the thing. But there are some businesses where if you've been there a while, and you know the businesses I'm talking about are people that have depended on a certain person for say 10 years, and that person says, "Look, you've got to do better," you know, and then that's what starts. That's what starts the spiral, because the employer doesn't want to lose that person, but that person is up against it, and they come to some accommodation, and things go on. But I mean, you've got a point that people can't just walk out. But, you know, Mike, I think some people are. You get so frustrated, and the pandemic showed it. They get so frustrated that they're like, "I will make do somehow." And the one nurse that was quoted yesterday, she said, "I have a very more mundane job that pays slightly less, but I'm not feeling like I'm being, you know, I'm risking my life every day."
She doesn't have the headaches that go, headaches and some of the stresses that go along with it.
And I think after the baby boomers, the succeeding generations have found ways to live on less, maybe. They just hole up somewhere and keep to themselves, maybe. I don't know. It's just my main point is that there's just a lot of factors to inflation, and the politicians are going to make a lot of hay out of inflation. And I'll just ask this. What would it make any difference who's in office? Now, I can hear people yelling at their radios. Yes, it would. But I think if you do a multifactorial analysis of this, of what causes inflation, that would be a factor, maybe, who's in office, but it might be an insignificant factor. It might be an insignificant factor. Because, what the government spends can drive inflation, too. But I just can't imagine. The people must have really squirreled away a lot of this pandemic money they got and must be really stretching it or something. Or they're finding some other way around it, because there are people that just aren't working that could be working. But I just think, too, they're at a point where they're not going to work for the old minimum wage anymore. Is there still a minimum wage? I guess it's still like, is it still like $7.50?
There's a federal minimum wage. I don't know exactly what it is. There's a federal minimum wage, and then there is a, different states can regulate their own, state minimum wages as well. I don't know what any of the specific numbers, are.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's way lower than a lot of people are getting.
Sure.
Because they've just got to the point where they won't do it anymore, you know. It's just like, hey, we're not going to, we can't do it for that, and we may as well, you know, try to eke out a living some other way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe somebody else has some thought on it, and I'm talking about some thought on it, not some oversimplistic slogan.
Yeah, I know. But back to your first comment about expiration dates. I know you were using that article as an example, the expiration dates I kind of use as a guideline. You know, with milk, it's always whatever it says on the jug, I'm going to give it a sniff before I pour that glass of milk or pour it on my cereal. If you see a can of green beans that worked its way to the back of the pantry and expired a year ago, I'm still going to eat it. Yep, I'm still going to eat it. But that leads to the question, well, what determines these expiration dates or use-by dates to begin with? What did the article say?
Well, I don't remember the specifics. I went down through the list of what the various meanings were, and I can't even come up with them. But I was surprised to see, okay, there's a sell-by date, a use-by date, an absolute expiration date. There were two or three categories she had, and this is the trouble of calling in when you're out driving around in your car.
Okay, yeah, you can't reference that, but there are different, an expiration date and a use-by date and an absolute expiration date are not, those are three different things.
They are. That was one of the points of the article, and I suppose the determination hopefully is based on the food manufacturers or processors' laboratories, you know, where they've studied this, and they know, you know, this is about when this doesn't taste as good anymore, you know. And I think that's one of the things, you know. They have taste testers or something, or they check it. Now, of course, in the old days, you know, my mother was always careful about any dented can or any bulging can. The bulging can is the dead giveaway.
Yeah.
That something's wrong in there. The dented can, you know, now we have Benton Dent stores. People buy those, and I've eaten from dented cans, but it's usually a can that I know is well under any kind of date and is, you know, and sometimes it's just on there on the shelf with the other stuff. It's never gotten moved to reduced price bin or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so, I've never been anyway. Phased by, you know, if I have my choice, I'm going to get a can that doesn't have a dent in it just because it looks better. But dented cans, if they're out, somebody dropped it when they were stocking the shelves, or somebody ran a forklift into a box, or there's all sorts of things that that can happen to dent a can that's not going to have any impact on the food inside.
Right. So that's, I don't know. It's just a thing that I've seen people just kind of go crazy about this kind of stuff. And, I don't know. In the old days, you had to just kind of know, you know, and you had to be sure you'd cook your meat. And again, the thing that always is amazing to me is the packages you see that say, this is a raw product. It must be cooked. Some people are used to just opening anything and eating it. So, you know, the only thing I got my sauerkraut out of the crock the other day, and I ate some of that just like it was. But that's supposedly pretty well fermented, so there's not much can go wrong with that, as I see it anyway. So, you know, maybe if I had some of your hot sauce to put on my sauerkraut, it would be better.
I can't imagine any microorganisms living in my my hot sauce, but it can happen.
I suppose so. Well, I don't know. That's kind of all I know today.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. It is 9:54. We do have open phone lines up until 11. We'll be right back.
As colder weather approaches, it's time to start thinking about your winter fuel needs. Han Oil has been the area's go-to fueling station since 1935. They have all the fuel you need, including heating oil and kerosene. Kerosene is available at the pump. Han Oil offers fuel delivery for your farming, construction, trucking, or fleet fueling. While you're there, check out Han's Quick Mart for a large selection of local items, including wine, cheese, and everything you need for the road. That's Han Oil, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all your fueling needs, including heating oil and kerosene.
Redefine what's possible at Central Ohio Technical College, now offering more flexible class formats. Whether you're ready to fast track from just a job to a career, get that promotion, or start a bachelor's degree, COTC is the smart choice to reach your goals quickly. Our on-campus, virtual, or hybrid formats fit your lifestyle. And with small class sizes, personal attention, and free tutoring, you'll be on your path to what's next. Learn how COTC can get you there at go.cotc.edu/ycotc.
Looking for a good read or a gift? Check out the new book, Frontier History of Coshocton. The book describes the Coshocton's entire glorious history from the end of the last ice age until the end of the War of 1812 in 600 full-size pages with a quality sewn hardcover. Buy it now for $39.99 at the Johnson Hummock House Museum and Amazon.com. Sale proceeds are donated to the museum.
I'm Malcolm. I'm a commercial cash management specialist, but I'm also a leader and a musician.
At Park National Bank, we're more than our job titles, and you're more than an account number. You get personal attention and direct access to a caring, compassionate banker who respects and responds to your needs and goals. Find Malcolm or a banker near you at parknationalbank.com. Park National Bank, where you mean more. Member FDIC, parknationalbank.com.
It's bacon extravaganza at Papa John's Pizza. The triple bacon pizza is topped with smoky crumbled bacon, julienne cut Canadian bacon, and real smoked bacon slices. It's a bacon lover's dream. Get a large bacon pizza for $13. Order online at pjz.com or call 740-623-8483.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
These deals are so good, they should be on fire. Better yet, they can be lit on fire. It's Black Friday at Cheap Tobacco, and that means we have what you need at the lowest prices of the year. We have tubes free with the purchase of five, as well as $10 off Top-O-Matic rolling machines. Cheap Tobacco has you covered in all the major categories, so stop in today to see what else is on sale and stock up before it's too late.
Visit Coshocton's Cheap Tobacco at 115 North 2nd Street.
Whether you're with AlterCare for a short rehab stay or long-term care, we're committed to your safety. From enhanced screening and infection control measures to an accessible vaccine program and a newly installed air purification system, we've taken every opportunity to safeguard your well-being during these uncertain times. AlterCare Skilled Nursing and Rehabilitation in Coshocton on Otsego Avenue is here for you with care you can trust. Schedule a virtual tour today at altercareonline.com. That's altercareonline.com.
This Eye on Weather forecast is brought to you by Sprint Print. Come visit Sprint Print for all your printing needs, including copies, business cards, all types of business printing, and advertising specialties. Sprint Print is still located at 520 Main Street, Coshocton, right behind Stewart Interiors. At Sprint Print, we hop to it.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures in the mid-40s for tonight. Partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently it is 39 degrees in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 9:59. In fact, in just a few minutes, we will be speaking with Emily Marison from the Extension office, and we'll talk a little bit about the Extension dates and exactly what all she does in that office on 7th Street, and it is quite a bit. But right now, let's go ahead and take another phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Well, they waited for a long time, too. It's 9:59. Let's go ahead and get our national international news now from the AP.
AP News. Good morning. I'm Ed Donahue. FDA advisors are looking over data for an experimental drug that could soon become the first U.S. authorized pill to treat the coronavirus. Merck Senior Vice President Sean Curtis says a significant unmet medical need exists for safe and effective therapy for the coronavirus.
Many Americans remain at high risk for infection, severe illness, and death, including unvaccinated individuals who are comprising the majority of new cases, and vaccinated individuals experiencing breakthrough infections.
Today's meeting comes as infections are rising again in the U.S., and health authorities worldwide are scrambling to size up the threat posed by the new Omicron variant.
First cases of the variants have been reported in France and Japan. More from the AP's Charles de Ledesma.
The WHO says, too, the Omicron variant could lead to surges with severe consequences, and that there are considerable uncertainties over it at this point. But the preliminary evidence, it says, raises the possibility the variant has mutations that could help it both evade an immune system response and boost its ability to spread from one person to another.
Home prices rose briskly in September, another sign the housing market is booming. A warning to NATO today from Russian President Vladimir Putin. He sternly warned against deploying NATO troops and weapons to Ukraine, saying it represents a red line for Russia and would trigger a strong response. In the courtroom today in Chicago, testimony is expected to start in the trial of actor Jussie Smollett, who prosecutors say staged a homophobic and racist attack. Smollett's lawyers say he is a real victim of a real crime. In Minneapolis, jury selection is supposed to start in the manslaughter trial of former police officer Kim Potter. She claims she meant to use her taser instead of her gun when she killed the black driver, Dante Wright. Big losses early on Wall Street. This is AP News. A California city is seeing a spike in crime.
Oakland, California Mayor Libby Schaaf said Monday she'll push to reverse planned cuts to the city's police department as homicides and other violence spike in the city. Schaaf's announcement came after a weekend that saw three people killed, raising to 127 the number of homicides in Oakland so far this year. In the wake of the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, the progressive Oakland City Council voted in June to cut $18 million from the police department and shift money to programs designed to prevent street crime and address homelessness. Other liberal cities that joined the Defund the Police movement are also having second thoughts. Earlier this month, the City Council in Portland, Oregon unanimously passed a fall budget that included increasing the police budget by $5.2 million. I'm Mike Gracia.
Saying it would stifle competition, the United Kingdom's antitrust watchdog has blocked Facebook's acquisition of gift-sharing platform Giphy. Ed Donahue, AP News.
It is 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, 39 degrees currently in Coshocton. We're going to have some open phone lines again here in just a little bit. Update on the Christmas Castle. And we are currently on family number 88. We need $90 more for family number 88. And about, 20 after 9, somebody came in and handed me a handful of papers. Well, three. And two were individual donations and one a business pledge. And then it stopped. So it's been about a half an hour since we've had a call, or at least that I've been notified of a call from the for the Christmas Castle. So we need to keep that momentum going. 740-622-1560. A $90 pledge will take care of the remainder of the needs of family number 88. Our running total currently is $17,235. The total monetary goal is $50,000. So we have a long way to go in a short period of time. We need your help. It is 4 minutes after 10 now, and, well, our first caller of the morning talked about a variety of different things, but mentioned a regular article that is published in the Tribune from Emily Marison, the family and consumer sciences educator at OSU Extension, and we do have Emily Marison on the phone. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Mike.
Were your ears burning a little bit ago?
They were a little bit. Actually, David, my husband, sent me a text and said, hey, they're talking about your article. And I thought, as I got on and listened just a little bit, that it might be helpful to call in and just expand on that a little bit, because food safety is one of my passions, actually.
And we do. I have often said that you're more likely to get food poisoning or foodborne illness from the potluck at church, or maybe even from grandma's dinner on Thanksgiving Day, than you are in a restaurant.
Yes, and that's my hope as an educator that does a lot of ServSafe training. We definitely hope that those that we're educating out in food service are following all the best recommended practices and avoiding cross-contamination, that they're cleaning and sanitizing well, all those things, because the last thing that a food business wants to have happen is for someone to get sick, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I worked for one of those companies for a short period of time, which will remain nameless, and started right after they had one of those incidents. So you can believe that that company took food safety very seriously.
Definitely, yeah.
What about potlucks and when we bring meals to serve others? Are those, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I always thought that is a recipe for foodborne illness.
Well, the biggest thing with those is that we're in what we call the temperature danger zone a lot. So when it comes to pathogenic bacteria or those bacteria that cause foodborne illness, that cause, you know, the vomiting and the diarrhea and all those terrible things that can happen with foodborne illness, they love to grow and multiply at room temperature. So anywhere actually between 42 degrees and 135 degrees, that's where they're going to be active, but especially growing really well between 70 and 90, which is where we're going to be having a lot of our picnics or a lot of our potlucks and things like that. So it's very critical not to leave it in that time frame for more than like 2 to 4 hours, especially in the summertime. A couple hours is about as much as you want to leave those kinds of cooked things. So our cooked casseroles and our cooked meats and all those sorts of things, bacteria love to eat those. And the tricky part about pathogens is that they're not like spoilage bacteria. So with spoilage, and I heard you mention the part about the milk, like giving it the sniff test.
Yeah.
Spoilage bacteria, they give us that indication that they're active. So they make things smell bad. They make things taste bad. Sometimes they even make things slimy, like you'll see that on cut vegetables and things like that. But pathogenic bacteria give us no indication whatsoever that they're there. So the only way you know that they're there is if you would eat them and then have those negative reactions. So that's why it's critical, like you said, when we do those potlucks and those family gatherings, just not to do the whole grazing thing where we leave that food out on the counter all afternoon long and just pick at it all afternoon. So after the meal's done, it's best to go into the refrigerator. You can still, you know, eat your carrots, and not that anybody really wants to be snacking on that, I guess, all afternoon, but it's really best to put it in the fridge and then pull it back out and warm it up.
Well, the popular notion is that things with a mayonnaise base and maybe a dairy base are more susceptible than some other things. Number one, is that true? And secondly, what are some of the types of food products that are especially susceptible to foodborne illness or developing pathogens or foodborne illness quickly?
That's a great question. I hear that all the time, like with potato salad or macaroni salad, things like that. Like, well, you know, it has mayonnaise in it, so we better get that in the fridge. But it's actually poor mayonnaise. It gets the blame, and it's usually hardly ever the mayonnaise, because at this point, very few people make their own. It's all commercially made. So unless you really truly are making your own mayonnaise and you're using raw eggs to do that, then that might be a whole other story. But if you're using commercial mayonnaise, it's not the mayonnaise that's the problem. It's whatever the protein source or the carbohydrate source is. So if we're looking at a tuna salad or a ham salad, something like that, then it's the tuna or the ham that's probably going to be the problem. Or if it's potato salad, it could be the potato or the macaroni. That is what the bacteria actually like to eat a lot more than they like to eat the fat. So that's where the problem can come in. It's all about that temperature range. So you fall into that warmer temperature, and if, and that's the big thing, if, it's not that these pathogens are always there, but since we don't know, because we can't obviously see them, but we also have no indication from smell or taste or anything else, we just kind of have to make the assumption that they could be there. And so we want to make sure we handle everything as well as we can outside of those temperature ranges.
You mentioned the celery and carrots. Are those examples of products, food products, that can be at room temperature for extended periods of time?
So, you know, the biggest thing with those is that once you've cut them, so cut vegetables are when there's an opportunity for there to be other kinds of growth. Usually the kinds of veggies that are the most concern are cut peppers. Other fruits like cut melons are sometimes associated with like salmonella and some other kinds of things. And part of that has to do with what were the conditions before you purchased it. So for the most part, our growers do an awesome job. That's a part of, you know, extension work and other work by FDA and USDA is to educate growers, and they do a fantastic job. But they can't get everything when they do their rinsing and washing and handling. So it's important for us to do a good job in our kitchens of rinsing. You know, unless that package specifically says on it that this is ready to eat, and there will be some cut greens that are like that will say ready to eat. If it doesn't, then you should be rinsing that off and using a vegetable brush and just brushing off those vegetables well before you cut them. That's really one of the biggest things, is just how you're handling it. And then more than anything, quality is going to begin to go down. If you leave those cut vegetables out all afternoon in the, you know, room temperature, then eventually they're going to get all like droopy and soggy and not taste as good if you would put them back in the fridge just to keep them crisp.
But they are, would it be fair to say they're less susceptible than that potato salad?
Correct.
Okay.
Very much so. And
but still susceptible.
You had asked about, like, so what are those key foods? So the key foods are going to be our cooked meats, you know, any poultry, any beef, any, you know, our turkey, all those sorts of things that bacteria love to grow in those. So especially if they're at room temperature, it's all about keeping them warm. So, you know, if you've got your crock pot on the warm setting, and you've cut up your meat, and it's kind of in your buffet line or whatever for your next family gathering, that's fine because it's going to be keeping it at a warm enough temperature that those pathogenic bacteria are not going to want to grow. So the best thing really is to leave it in a warm, you know, and warm as in like above 135 degrees rather than just leaving it on a plate somewhere. Another thing that we don't think about as often is like baked potatoes. So any of our kind of plant-based material, so that would include pastas as well, they should also be above 135 degrees as we're handling those too and holding those. So if they fall into that room temperature range, then those could also be susceptible for having some kind of pathogenic bacteria as well.
And question from way out in left field. When we order a pizza on Saturday night and we wake up Sunday morning, there's two pizzas left in the box that's been out all night. The common idea is, well, that's still edible. You can go ahead and eat it. What are your thoughts? What advice can you have about eating that cold pizza or reheating pizza the following morning?
So if you put that pizza in the fridge, that is just fine. Heat it up and eat it. But if you've left that pizza at room temperature all night long, you should not consume it.
A lot of people will do that, though.
I know, and it's a risk. There, you know, depending on what all is on that pizza, it could be definitely, you know, the pizza sauce itself is going to be a pretty high acid. You know, anything with tomatoes is not going to really support the growth of microorganisms, but you've got other toppings that are on there, and so there's always a risk with that. I would definitely just be on the safe side, stick it in the fridge, and then warm it up.
Okay, so not a good idea, although some people, for some, it's common practice. Now, forgive me, I'm going back to my own food safety training, and it has been decades, but when it comes to microorganisms in food, you talked about that temperature danger zone that you want to keep the food out of, either hotter or colder than the danger zone. But if you freeze or heat an item out of that danger zone, does that necessarily eliminate the risk of foodborne illness if it, in fact, was in that danger zone for a certain period of time?
Right. Well, I'll start with the freezing. So freezing in itself does not kill microorganisms. It just slows them way, 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 way down. So it's going to keep them from growing and multiplying, but if there are any present, they're still going to be there. So it's important, very important, when we cook our meats especially, that we cook them to the correct internal temperature. So using a food thermometer, a lot of people call it a meat thermometer, that's one of the best tools that you can have in your kitchen. They're fairly inexpensive. It's really easy just to, as you're cooking your chicken or your meat or whatever it is, just to check that temperature. When we're talking about poultry products, we want them to be at 165 or higher. If we're looking at our roasts and things like that, we're at 145. If we're looking at ground meat, then we want to be in that 155 to 165 range. It's just knowing that if you don't reach that temperature, you're taking a risk that if there were any pathogens there, that they're not being killed. So once you reach that temperature, then you can take it out. I know there's people that are very concerned from a food safety standpoint with meat, and they will cook meat to death, right? And just, you know, leave it in there, and I want everything completely well done. It doesn't have to be well done to be safe. So the temperature is really the key. And like I said, one of those food thermometers is fairly inexpensive, and it's a great thing to have on hand.
Any tips on using a meat thermometer or a food thermometer? In other words, when and in what part of a turkey or a steak or a roast should you test it?
Yeah, so always try to go to the thickest part, whatever you can see is the thickest part. So, and when you're talking about a turkey, it's best to put it in at least two or three different spots. So try it in the breast and then maybe try it down in the back, like where it's going to be close to the thigh kind of area, so that you've got a little, you know, the breast should be where you've got the most meat and the, you know, the thickest part there. But it's always a good idea just to check, especially if it's been frozen before you put it in, if you still had a few little frozen parts in there, just to make sure that it really is at that 165. For the most part, those little automatic buttons that pop up in a turkey are usually pretty spot on, but sometimes they're not. And so it's just a good idea to kind of double check that. I know for the turkey that I just made last week, it right at 165, it popped up, so it was kind of cool that it was right
on.
So
you use both. So you kind of tested the little pop-up buttons to see how accurate they were.
Just to make sure, right?
And I've often wondered about those things. You don't get any; they don't give you any numbers. It's just a yes or no thing. And furthermore, they couldn't be too expensive to make. And I've always wondered, well, just how accurate are these things?
So they are fairly accurate. But it's always good if you've got that meat thermometer just to put that in there.
What are some of the common mistakes that we make in our kitchen, whether in preparation or storage of food? Some of the things that I mentioned eating the warm pizza. Not everybody does that, but a lot of people do. Are there any other common mistakes or things that we do that we could do better on?
I'd say one thing would be the whole cross-contamination part. So just, you know, if you've got a couple different cutting boards in your kitchen, I know right now they make different colors of cutting boards. So if it's been a while since you've got a new cutting board and you've got lots of, you know, like maybe not necessarily cracks, but where you've cut a lot and there's a lot of marks and they're deep marks that are in your cutting board, well, those little cracks and crevices are perfect for microorganisms to want to get into and just hide. And if you don't do a great job cleaning it, then they could survive down in there. So if it's been a long time since you've gotten a new cutting board, plastic or, you know, some kind of polymer material is really best compared to wood. Wood is fine to use when you're talking about breads, but if you're ever going to be cutting meat, it's best to use plastic instead. And then you could have one, I know we have like a red one that we keep in our kitchen, and we just do all the meat on our red cutting board. We know that's the one that we cut meat or poultry on. And then we've got others that are white, and so then if we're chopping up vegetables, we use those. If you don't have multiple cutting boards, that's fine. Just make sure that you're definitely cleaning them well in between. And it's always best to do your veggies first and then do your meat or poultry afterwards. Just from a cleanliness standpoint, from a, you know, not necessarily sanitation, but just from a cleanliness standpoint, that's always the best thing to do. And when you are handling raw meat, wash your hands. That's the other huge part. I mean, we've heard that a lot in the last 2 years, but especially when we're handling our food products and handling raw meat or poultry, you should be washing your hands in between all of that. And I'd say the other part is just, you know, keep that refrigerator door shut when you're in your kitchen too, and make sure that your refrigerator really is at the right temperature. It should be at 40 degrees or lower. Really, it should be in the high 30s is one of the best places to be. So if you don't have a little thermometer in there, that's another fairly inexpensive thing that you can pick up and put in your refrigerator to make sure that you're at the right temperature. Because the last thing you want is for your temperature and your fridge to be helping you grow things that you don't want to be growing.
And the danger zone is what, from 40 to 165?
So 135.
135.
Yeah, so you want to make sure anything that you heat that's hot, like especially vegetables, should be heated to above 135. And you know, and another thing I just thought about is your microwave too. Most people do not think about this, but when we microwave things that have been leftovers in the refrigerator, they really should get to 165 degrees. Most of the time when we microwave something, we just kind of stick it in for a while. We pull it out. We might stir it and kind of give it a taste, like, is this warm enough or not? You know, we don't ever really think about what the temperature of it is. But you know, make sure that even if you don't measure the temperature, make sure that you're heating it to definitely more than like what would be room temperature, right? Make sure that you're really heating whatever you put into the microwave, because if something has been growing while it's been in the fridge, that's your chance to zap it. That's your chance to kill it.
Now, back to cutting boards and cleaning and sanitizing cutting boards and other things in the kitchen for that matter. What are your thoughts on the use of bleach as a sanitizer?
Yeah, so bleach is a fine sanitizer. You really don't need very much, and I don't have the little amount right in front of me, but it's like a tablespoon to a gallon of water is really all that you need in order to make a bleach sanitizing solution. But you can easily find that online, or you can call our office to get that for sure. But cleaning has to be done first. So you can never sanitize a dirty surface. It has to be clean. Any kind of food particle, anything visible has to be gone first. So you clean it all first before you would ever sanitize it. Our home kitchens certainly don't need to be sanitized every day like what we would see in a food service establishment. They're going to be doing lots of sanitation there because they're working with a lot more food than what we are in our home kitchens. But it's a great idea, especially before and after you're preparing, like if you're doing a big holiday meal here in the next few weeks, hey, it'd be great to give your kitchen a good cleaning, do a sanitation step where you clean your counter well and then apply, whether it's, you know, you can even use the sanitizing wipes. The key with it is that once it's wet, you let it completely air dry. Don't wipe it down with a paper towel or with a cloth of any kind. Just let it air dry, because that's part of the mechanism of how sanitizers work, is that air drying process.
And a couple of more, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, meats. Oftentimes, the juice from a chicken is held up as a poster child as an example of the spread of foodborne illness. How much of a threat is chicken juice, and is chicken any more susceptible to foodborne illness than other types of meat?
Yeah, so salmonella is going to be our main culprit when it comes to poultry. And when we look at red meat, then we usually think more of E. coli. E. coli is typically more associated with that. So I think because there is that With the handling process, there's more of a possibility of spreading that juice. There's just as much of a chance that there could be salmonella in the juice from that package with the chicken as on the bird itself or in that meat. So yeah, it's definitely something that you want to be careful with. You know, just don't be opening up the package and flinging it around in your kitchen. Another part though, when it comes to the meat, is just making sure that you are washing your hands after you have handled any of that, and that it's never a good idea to wash off your meat or your poultry in the sink before you cook it. Like, you just take it directly out of the package, put it into your roasting pan or whatever pot or whatever it is that you're going to be cooking in, or the grill, whatever it might be, but don't rinse it off first. I think in previous eras, that was a common practice, especially with chicken or with poultry products of all kinds, to put that into the sink and rinse it off. But you have a greater chance of spreading any kind of bacteria that would be on there from rinsing it off than you do just cooking it correctly. That's really the best way to take care of it.
And pork especially used to be associated with trichinosis. Is trichinosis the threat that it once was?
It is not. And a lot of that just has to do with the breed of hogs that is typically in our food supply right now. That's something that has, and that's a type of a parasite, a worm, that's just not really prevalent right now, thankfully. And so that's another reason that people used to cook their pork chops to death, was because of the trichinosis. But now, you can cook that to 145, 155, depending on how you like yours, but you can still have it kind of pink in the middle, and it's perfectly safe for you to have that as a pork chop or a pork cut of any kind.
Well, Emily, I know this conversation was not in your day planner today, nor was it in mine, but we haven't even gotten to the question and the issue that prompted your call. Do you have a few more minutes?
I do, yeah.
Well, let me take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk about those dates that we see on our vegetable cans and food products and expiration dates and use-by dates and what those all mean right after this.
Hey, Brittany, did you know Drown Law Offices is holding a Christmas light contest this year?
No, I didn't. What a great idea. How can I enter the contest?
Between November 29th and December 13th, you can text or email a picture of your lights to Brittany, that's B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y, @ drownlawoffices.com. With the address of your home, phone number, and your name. Your picture will be uploaded to the Drown Law Office's Facebook page.
Well, I don't really want my name and phone number shown on Facebook.
Don't worry, they won't share that information.
Well, what do I get if I win?
The winner receives $500. Second place receives $100. And third place receives $50.
Wow.
There will also be a judge's choice winner who will receive $100.
How do we know who wins?
The photo that receives the most likes on Facebook will be the winner.
When will the winner be announced?
Winners will be contacted by phone and announced on Facebook on December 20th, and prizes will be available that day as well. Check out the Drown Law Office's Facebook page for more information on how to enter the contest, or call 740-291-8080 with any questions. Happy decorating!
Hi, this is Tony Weston of Jacobs Vandeman Insurance Agency. When you have a loss, insurance suddenly becomes a very real part of your life. We represent Westfield Insurance because we feel their excellent claim service sets them apart from their competition. Our customers experience the kind of service that makes them feel relieved to be insured with Westfield Insurance and the Jacobs Vandeman Agency. Real people providing real value for all your insurance needs. Please call the Jacobs Vandeman Agency at 622-1796. The Jacobs Vandeman Agency, serving the area since 1904.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
Otsego Carryout in Coshocton is the only stop for whatever you need. Check out their deli, meat and cheese, a freshly made grab-and-go sandwich, and a large selection of Walnut Creek favorites. Otsego Carryout has these new items. Walnut Creek dinner rolls, pumpkin, lemon, chocolate, and carrot cake rolls sold by the cake or piece. Walnut Creek Strawberry Jam, Hot Pepper Jelly, Sweet and Spicy Mustard, Rocky Road Peanut Butter, and Chocolate Fudge. Stop by Otsego Carryout today. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service for the local forecast 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Jeff Drennan Ford, 801 South 2nd Street, Coshocton. And always remember, when you're thinking of buying a new car, it's time to talk to Jeff.
This Eye on Weather forecast is brought to you by H&H Auto Body. It's your car, it's your choice. For 45 years, we have been providing the very best collision repairs in the area. H&H Auto Body, Otsego Avenue in Coshocton.
Mostly cloudy today with highs in the mid-40s for tonight. Partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 39 degrees. And just had a couple of folks bring in their pledges and received another $200 individual pledge. So thank you very much. Very generous $200 pledge to the Christmas Castle. So that puts our running total now at $17,435. And so we need your help. Keep those calls coming. The phone lines are open. We are back once again with Emily Marison, Family and Consumer Sciences Educator with OSU Extension. And Emily, our caller last hour mentioned you by name and said how much he enjoys your articles that are in the Tribune, and held up the article that you had about expiration dates and use-by dates, etc., that we see on food products as an example. And I am sure that there are a lot of folks that have questions about those use-by dates. First of all, how often do you do your articles appear in the Tribune?
Every Sunday. I get to write each week for that, and I'll tell you, it's a highlight of my week to be able to do that.
So once a week, okay. So that probably keeps you busy then.
It does. It does. There are some weeks when it's easier to come up with a topic than others, I will say that, but it's always fun to write those. And I love hearing that people read it, and that's very encouraging to keep it up for sure.
How long ago was the article about food dates?
So that was just in Sunday's paper. So it has just a couple days ago.
Well, before I ask any questions, I'll just toss it to you. Can you give the basics of those dates that we see on food products?
Sure. So first of all, it can be confusing, and I feel everybody's pain with this because it's like, what do these things really mean? There is nothing universal about product dating to start with, like as far as any rules from the USDA or FDA or anything that way. The only rule that there is when it comes to infant formula. So with infant formula, there is and it can be worded different ways, used by or expires. That's really the only true expiration date for any kind of food product. And it's not really a safety as in a foodborne illness concern, but it's the fact that for an infant formula is sole nutrition. You know, it's the only thing that baby is getting. And over time, in that container, the vitamins and nutrients are degrading. They just don't last forever. So I actually have personal experience with this because I worked for Abbott Nutrition for 9 years before I came to Extension. And infant formula is one of the products that Abbott makes. So they were testing that constantly. Like every single month, they would test to see where are these different vitamin and nutrient levels and make sure that they were meeting what the label claim was and what the infants would need. And then they would know, okay, once we get to whatever this expiration date is, we're still meeting what those label claims are. But after that, it can't be guaranteed that it's going to give the infant the nutrition that they need. So I like to throw that out there just for folks that if they do use infant formula, make sure that you treat that date as the last date that it's used. And it can be a very sad day to try to throw out infant formula because it's so expensive, but you want to make sure that the baby is getting what they need. Then every other food product, everything else out there, those dates are not expiration dates, and they're certainly not a safety date either. So it might say best if used by or best before. It might say sell by. All of those things are a recommendation from a quality standpoint. And the sell by is especially helpful for the retailer, so for the grocery store, so that they know if we sell it by this date, that is still going to give the consumer time to go home and eat it, because the last thing they want to do is to sell you products that you're going to take home and not be able to eat because they don't taste good. It's not a safety thing, though, and we spent a whole lot of time there talking about safety. Safety comes from the way we're handling the food. We want to make sure that we keep the foods in the right temperature, either cold or hot. If they're meant to be cold, keep them cold. If they're meant to be hot, keep them hot. And make sure that we're washing our hands and all those sorts of things. But when it comes to that date on the label, that's really about quality. So at what point will this either start to spoil? And then we've got the signs of spoilage, because it's either going to smell terrible, it's going to have a weird taste that we know just doesn't taste right, the flavor or the texture, the color may start to change. So there's indications when things start to spoil. So those aren't, we don't want to consume them still, but that's not the same as what we're talking about with the foodborne illness that we talked about a few minutes ago. So those dates are really about quality, and then you get to determine as you open up that package and look at it, does this look like, smell like, taste like, it's still okay? Then it's fine to consume, because it's really all about quality.
So how do we know then if they're just recommended dates before quality might begin to change, where a product could degrade into something more serious and give us foodborne illness? Or can that happen if it's in a can, say?
So if it's in the can, then the chances are like one in a billion, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember exactly, but as it goes through that commercial canning process, it has such a heat treatment that there's a whole big formula that I had to learn in college about this, of the chance that any kind of bacteria would survive that kind of a thermal process. And it is such a low, 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 low risk. So if you open up that can past the expiration date, it's not going to be unsafe. But it may have started to degrade, because all food products over time are going to degrade. Like, they can't last forever. I've heard stories of people that have, their canned goods in their basement and opening it up 20 years later and whatever. Well, yeah, from a food safety standpoint, that is still safe to eat. Now, from a quality standpoint, I'm not sure that you really want to consume something that's 20 years past the date that's on the can. But from it's a totally different thing between food safety and between quality.
And eggs are one thing that I have noticed over the years, and I have a regular caller that I don't think she does it anymore, but used to pick eggs on a farm. So she was our local egg expert, and I asked the question about how long, what is the shelf life of eggs, because for me, I have found them to be good and edible and tasty without any ill effects for weeks, and I dare I say maybe even a couple months or more after the date on the carton.
Yeah, so when it comes to eggs, it is interesting, because there's going to be probably a little difference between if you get them from a farm, from a farmer that you know, or on your own, if you have your own chickens, compared to in a grocery store. And that's just by the way that they're handled. As far as like the FDA and USDA kind of recommendations, they say recommended storage time for eggs in shell is 3 to 4 weeks. Now, that's just their overall recommendation. So we don't know for sure when we get it at the grocery store, and it has that date on it, like how long, when did they put that date on it? We don't know that part. If you get it from a local farmer, well, then you know. But it all comes back to that same kind of thing, where if you are keeping it in the refrigerator, you're keeping it at that below 41 degrees, there's a chance that it could last a lot longer than that. And it's not going to be a safety concern. Again, it's just that eventually the egg is going to start to it's just not going to taste as good. The quality is going to start to go down with that. And, you know, if you're just whipping that up to make yourself scrambled eggs or a fried egg in the morning compared to baking with it, well, then that might be a little different, too. You know, it might not perform as well in baking as it would for you just to mix it up and eat it for your breakfast on its own.
Any other myths or facts or maybe little-known facts about food dating that you would like to share with us?
Well, one other thing that I did want to mention, because I think I heard you say something about dented cans.
Yes.
So when it comes to food safety from a can standpoint, one thing to watch for with those dents is that they're not around the seam at the top of the can. So if that dent is kind of in the side and it's just a little dent or kind of down in the corner above the bottom or whatever, that's different than if that dent is actually in the seam of the can. So if you do see a dent around the seam, then I would kind of stay away from that one because there's a chance that the integrity of the seal could possibly, even if it's just a very minute amount, that it could have been compromised, which means that air could get into that can, which means other bacteria could possibly get into that can. So when you're looking at dents, just make sure that it's not around that top seal. Other than that, as long as it's not bulging or there's not any rust on the can, if there's a dent somewhere, then it's fine. It should be fine to consume.
And what I know we could spend another hour or two talking about home canning, but what about bulging cans and bulging warning signs for home canning as well, signs of botulism or other foodborne illness. Do we see bulging tin cans in the grocery store much these days?
No, I don't think so. I think that stores do a very good job of keeping their eye out for that kind of thing on the shelf, so it would really probably fall more on us in our own pantries if we've got that can, like you said, that made it to the back somehow, just to keep our eye on that. But the chances of that happening are very, very low, just because of the quality control that's typically in place in most of our manufacturing locations. You know, they have such sophisticated equipment now to be able to use their electric eye and see what that seal is like and make sure that the seal's intact. So it would just be if it was mishandled somehow, like you mentioned, the pallet, we've run something into it or whatever with a forklift, well, then there might be a good chance that we've damaged something and we kind of need to keep our eye on it. But for the most part, I think it's going to fall more on us because our manufacturers and our grocery stores are doing a good job of looking out for that for us.
Well, and we don't have time to go down the rabbit hole of home canning. Maybe we can schedule some other time to do that because a lot of folks still do it. Emily, well, again, I want to thank you for reaching out to us after you heard of our conversation. And can you just very quickly explain what all you do as a family and consumer science educator with the Extension Office?
Yeah, so I've been in this role for 3.5 years now, and we say Family and Consumer Sciences is all about giving life skills for healthy people, healthy finances, and healthy relationships. So we have a variety of different programs. Next year, I've already got programs scheduled that are on our website. We do a Dining with Diabetes program. I do teach Serve Safe Manager to our food service employees. We do a food preservation series, so we do get into home canning and freezing and all those sorts of things. I do canner testing if anyone needs their canner gauge tested. And then I also do a lot of financial coaching and financial programs. So if anyone is looking to get a spending plan in place or just a better handle on their finances, that's something we can help at our office as well.
And the back in my day, we called that home economics. Is that the same thing? Just
right.
Okay.
It is. It is home ec, and I'm proud to say that I am a home ec agent, even if we say family and consumer sciences educator today.
Is home ec a bad phrase in some circles?
Well, no, I don't think that it is. You know, it changed in schools a while ago from home economics to family and consumer sciences. And I don't know if part of that was just to emphasize, like, the consumer part of it, kind of personal finance aspect of things. But I think a lot of people can identify with what home ec is. And for a lot of folks, they have good memories of being a part of a home ec class and gaining some of those skills when they were in high school themselves. So I kind of use them interchangeably with folks in our community for sure.
And the OSU, do all extension offices, OSU extension offices or college extension offices, university extension offices, have a person that does what you do?
So it depends on the county. And we, people may remember Joan Reed from years ago. Joan left in 2004 to take a position down in North Carolina with their extension. But we were kind of open from 2004 to 2018. We did not have anyone in that position. About half of the counties in Ohio, a little more than half, I think there are 50 of us that are educators at the county level throughout the state.
And even though our local extension office went without an official person in your position for that number of years, yet you had to have still gotten the calls and the questions, and everybody else just pick up the slack?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, a huge part of the help with that, Tammy Rogers, who was in our office for years, had a great relationship with Kate Shoemaker, who is my counterpart up in Holmes County. And so Kate would come down and do some classes for us for home food preservation especially and canner testing. And then Tammy would help out with their website design for Holmes County. So it was a great little partnership to be able to have Kate still do some work for us and to help out our clientele. And there were a lot of phone calls that we directed Kate's way as well. But anytime that folks have a question, you are welcome to call the extension office. Our number is 740-622-2265. I talk with folks about recipes. I talk with them about food safety. Like I said, financial things, whatever is on your mind, that's what we're here for. Extension is here to help educate and just be a community resource for Coshocton County.
Emily, it has been a pleasure. We'll do this again sometime soon and schedule an official time. You're very informative, and all sorts of the possibilities of what we could talk about are endless.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the time.
That is Emily Marison, Family and Consumer Sciences Educator with the OSU Extension Office. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Do you need a new or newer vehicle? Hi, I'm Jeff Drennan, and we are here to help in both sales and service. At my dealerships in Coshocton and Zanesville, we work hard to get you the best car deal possible, including during the current conditions in the car industry. Or if you want to sell your vehicle and it has under 100,000 miles, just stop in and see us and let us make you an offer. Stop in today at Jeff Drennan's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Coshocton, Jeff Drennan Ford, or Jeff Drennan's GM Superstore in Zanesville. And always remember, when you're thinking of buying a new car, it's time to talk to Jeff.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite and most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They are currently offering pay starting at $16.14 per hour. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, stop by December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m.
If it's a Honda and it's got a motor, think John Hinder Honda Power Store.
Black Friday is here. Give your family the gifts they'll never forget. Gifts that only can be found at the Honda Gifts That Go sales event, going on now through December 31st. Choose from any of our two-wheel street bikes, scooters, dirt bikes, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Head over to John Hinder Honda Power Store, where you'll find the biggest selection of inventory around. Home of the Lifetime Engine Guarantee. See dealer for program details.
For your safety, read the owner's manual. Wear a helmet and eye protection. Always wear your seatbelt and keep the side nets and doors closed. Honda side-by-sides and ATVs are for drivers 16 years and older. Honda recommends that all ATV riders take a training course. Always wear a helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. Never ride under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and read the owner's manual.
If it's a Honda, it's got a motor. John Hinder Honda Power.
Power Store.
When a coach understands the player's strengths, developing a winning strategy is easy. That's also true with me, State Farm agent Doug Marmy. I know your insurance and financial situation isn't exactly like anyone else's, but like a great coach, I help you create a strategy to meet your individual needs. Call me, State Farm agent Doug Marmy, at 622-7721. State Farm is there. Providing insurance and financial services.
Redefine what's possible at Central Ohio Technical College, now offering more flexible class formats. Whether you're ready to fast track from just a job to a career, get that promotion, or start a bachelor's degree, COTC is the smart choice to reach your goals quickly. Our on-campus, virtual, or hybrid formats fit your lifestyle. And with small class sizes, personal attention, and free tutoring, you'll be on your path to what's next. Learn how COTC can get you there at go.cotc.edu/ycotc.
It's Bacon Extravaganza at Papa John's Pizza. The triple bacon pizza is topped with smoky crumbled bacon, julienne cut Canadian bacon, and real smoked bacon slices. It's a bacon lover's dream. Get a large bacon pizza for $13. Order online at pjz.com or call 740-623-8483.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We're a farm store, a family store, a Look What I Found store. We're a store made for real people and some real beasts. We're a Hey Neighbor kind of store and an everyday low price store. We're Rural King, and we're working hard to be your favorite store. Make sure you get over the valley and through the woods this holiday season with Providence Green Antifreeze. Just $2.99 after rebate. Limit 2 per household. Now through December 31st.
This Eye on Weather report is brought to you by Carol Goff and Associates Real Estate. The housing inventory in our local market is extremely low. It is a great time to consider listing your property with a local professional. Let one of the agents at Carol Goff & Associates help you with that process. From pricing, to marketing, to putting up the sold sign. Stop by their office at 404 North 2nd Street in Coshocton or call them anytime at 622-7653.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures in the mid-40s. For tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently, it is 42 degrees in Coshocton. Christmas Castle. And we had somebody come in and hand us a $20 bill. I want to thank you for thinking of the Christmas Castle. Running total now $17,455. I can see if we can hit that $25,000 mark by the end of today. Now, that's a tall order, but we can do it on this Giving Tuesday. So we are currently on family number 89. Let's learn about that family. Melissa, Andrew, and Lenny are children who love school and love to read. They spend a lot of time at the library and enjoy many programs there. Mom and Dad have been having a tough time finding babysitters for three active kids. When they can find work, can you help them out with new clothes for this holiday season? A donation of $225 is needed to help this family. $225 for a family 89. We just need 95 more dollars.
Fire threatens everything in its path. When it threatens our nation and our communities, we respond. We bring the fight to the front line. The Army National Guard stands ready to face the dangers of Mother Nature and protect our homes and our neighbors. We will always be there when your community needs us the most. Discover more about all the ways you can serve part-time in your community by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Tuesday, November 30th, is Giving Tuesday. On that day, and only that day, any donation to the United Way of Coshocton given through our website will be matched by our local Coshocton Foundation. They will match up to $5,000. So even if you've already given, will you consider giving a donation that'll be doubled by the foundation? And if you have yet to give, please do so through our website, CoshoctonUnitedWay.org, on Tuesday, November 30th, and follow the QGive directions. Thank you for living united locally, and Merry Christmas.
Children ages 12 and under and their families are invited to the Coshocton Public Library for a gingerbread house building workshop on Tuesday, December 14th. Families can choose to attend either the 5:30 or 6:15 p.m. session. During the program, a special holiday story will be told, and children will get to create their own gingerbread houses out of graham crackers, icing, and candy. Registration is required and can be completed at coshoctonlibrary.org.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Another update on the Christmas Castle Project. I want to thank the folks from C&R Property Management who have shared $200 with the Christmas Castle. And this is a landscaping business, and there are quite a few out there. So they challenge other landscaping businesses to meet or beat their pledge of $200 to the Christmas Castle, and that is quite a generous pledge. So if you would like to help out, 740-622-1560. And that takes care, just like that, of the needs of family number 89. So we can move on now to family number 90. And so move the list here. Sarah and Michael are both trying to finish their college degrees and raise four boys. Michael just started back to work full time. The children need warm coats now as the weather has changed, and your donation of $300 will provide clothes and footwear for the kids. So that's four kids, all boys, and they need coats and they need your help. We need another $195 for family number 90. So give us a call at 740-622-1560.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Look up, look down, look around. Look up, look down, look around. In the trees and on the ground, 'cause ALB must be found.
If you're hearing this, you should be concerned about the Asian longhorned beetle, an invasive species that's destroying our trees. But you can help. Look for the signs and help stop the beetle.
Look up, look down, look around. Look up, look down, look around. In the trees and on the ground, 'cause the ALB must be found.
Some signs of the ALB are dime-sized holes on tree trunks, a sawdust-like material called frass, and the beetle itself, with a long black body and white spots.
Look up, look down, look around. Look up, look down, look around. In the trees and on the ground, 'cause the ALB must be found.
Learn all the signs and how to report them at AsianLonghornedBeetle.com. That's AsianLonghornedBeetle.com.
Hey there, it's Kenzie again. Every time I'm on the radio, I tell you that Fisher Decorating has been here since 1946. Well, if you do the math, folks, that's 75 years. So stop in and check out our great selection of paint, floor covering, including remnants, and so much more. Maybe now would be a good time to change the name to Kenzie's Carpets. Well, I'm not holding my breath. That's Fisher Decorating Center, helping you make your house a home for 75 years.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures in the mid-40s. For tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 42 degrees in Coshocton. And that'll do it for the Communication Alliance program today. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And thanks again to Emily Marison from the OSU Extension Office, Family and Consumer Sciences Educator, for an impromptu conversation this morning, and the Christmas Castle Project, another $50 pledge to add in. So we need another $145 for family number 90. So we're moving right along, but still have a ways to go. So keep those calls coming at 740-622-1560. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 11 o'clock. Here's the news from the AP.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.